You're listening to episode 88, brought to you by the Health, Hope, and Inspiration podcast and BarkBox. For 3 free downloads and to subscribe to Health, Hope, and Inspiration, go to hhidownload.com. And to get a free extra month when you subscribe to a 6 or 12 month plan at BarkBox, just go to barkbox.com/lovely. Welcome to Cultivating the Lovely. I'm your host, Mackenzie Coppa. You can find out more about the podcast at cultivatingthelovely.com, in our Yellow Brick Road membership community at patreon.com/cultivatingthelovely, and in our Facebook group. I would also love to connect with you on Instagram, where you can find me at Mackenzie Coppa. That's MackenzieKoppa. You guys, this is an episode that many of you have been waiting for, as well as me, for quite some time, because I was actually contacted at the beginning of the summer to get to interview today's guest, and then her filming schedule, yes, I said filming schedule, got in the way, and we had to keep postponing things until this fall. Well, I finally had the chance to sit down and chat with Candace Cameron Bure, and it was so much fun. We really got to dive into a lot of topics that I don't think she talks about on a lot of shows and interviews that she's on. Things about her perspectives on faith, having grown up in Hollywood, and even some of the things that I was able to relate to growing up in the theater. It was really fun to be able to see how our experiences were very similar in those ways. And I think we hit on a lot of good information that you guys are really going to enjoy in today's episode. But before we get there, I do want to mention a couple of things. So of course, thank you to everyone who's leaving those ratings and reviews in iTunes. It's making a big difference. And for those of you who are just telling your friends, you know, because a lot of the podcasts that I find and love are the ones that I just heard about from people that I really respect and enjoy who I know in real life. So for those of you who are sharing it with people that you know and love, thank you. It makes such a difference. Also, we are really doing some fun things that we're amping up in the Patreon group, trying to get even more content in there so you guys feel like it's really worth it. As you already know, it's a double subscription. You get 2 subscriptions for the price of 1 because it also subscribes you to all the extra content for our other podcast called The Same Page, which if you haven't checked it out yet, you should really go give it a run. We just started Peter Pan and it's so much fun. But within Patreon, we're also looking at what we're going to be doing for 2019. We've had a really big self-care and homemaking focus all throughout 2018, so we're trying to decide what exactly we're going to be focusing on throughout 2019. And one of the things that has come up recently in conversations with patrons is that they want to have some sort of accountability group for those who are using Power Sheets. Now, obviously, this is not something where you would have to have Power Sheets in order to participate with the rest of everything that we have going on in Patreon, but it might just be another fun thing that we get to add. So we've decided we are going to move forward with this, and anyone who is in our Patreon group and also has purchased Power Sheets from Cultivate What Matters, the Laura Casey Cultivate shop, it's awesome. And if you want to throw a little credit our way, you can go to boldturquoise.com/powersheets to go grab your Power Sheets right now. And you guys, they sell it every year, so you're going to want to grab them. They're already flying off the shelves. And we are going to be having weekly check-ins with our Power Sheets and monthly lives where we're showing what we're doing and really trying to help each other use the Power Sheets to the best of our abilities. So if that's something you think would be a fun extra benefit to being in Patreon, then definitely come and join us at patreon.com/cultivatingthelovely. Of course, we have a ton of other stuff in there too. We're really ramping things up, like I said, with our What Ingrid and Fiona Like podcast, our Yellow Brick Road podcast, and lots of other things. So even if you don't want to do the Power Sheets part of it, come over and check us out, patreon.com/cultivatingthelovely, and see what we've got going on. But you guys really just want to hear the interview with Candace, right? So let's just get on with the show. Well, welcome, Candace.
Thank you.
I am so excited to have you on the show. I mean, you're a cultural icon. I had created an entire like alternative storyline for Full House when I was young about how I could be the long lost sister who was like sent to boarding school and randomly showed back up. So This is an honor. I've had numerous family members ask if they could sit in my little recording closet with me during this recording. I was like, no, but they were all very excited about it. So it's so fun to have you on the show, but I'm going to ask you like I asked ask all of my guests, which it feels kind of silly because if people don't know who you are, then they've probably been living under a rock for the past 30 years. But would you like to introduce yourself and tell where people can find you?
Sure, I would love to. Well, I'm Candace Cameron Bure, and you probably know me best from being on the shows Full House and Fuller House. Mm-hmm. You might know me from the Hallmark Channel.
Yeah.
Which, because I do lots and lots of work for the Hallmark Channel, and I'm also an author, and I do a little producing and directing, and I do all kinds of things.
You have many things on your plate.
I do, and I love it all. So grateful for it.
I'm so excited to talk about so many of them today. I think a really fun way that people can connect with you and really kind of get to know you is definitely through your Instagram.
Yeah, I'm very active on social media.
And you get down to it, girl. Some of the things you share, I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, I think I'm authentic on social media. And I'm like, dang, she really... really gets after it. So I applaud you for that, for just being authentic. I think it's really refreshing.
Thank you. I like sharing with people, you know?
Yeah. So one of your newest projects, I mean, we've kind of said, you have a lot going on right now, and I'm excited to hit on a lot of these different things. But the newest project that they contacted me about and sent me the book for was your brand new children's book, Candace Center Stage, which I was telling you before, I have two little girls, they're 3 and 6, and they loved the book even before I told them that it was yours, because they are both ballerinas. And so this whole book about this little girl who's, you know, getting kind of finding her own way and being herself and everything. They adored the book. But then when I flipped the last page and they saw it was you, they both like lost their minds.
I'm so glad that they loved it.
Yeah.
That makes me really, really happy. And this was a book that I have been wanting to write for 20 years. And I'm not stopping at one book. The little girl in the book, Candace, is going to have many, many adventures.
Oh,
I've already written the next book. But one of my favorite things to do was read with my children, read to them, have them read to me. It was always one of my favorite times to spend together with them and be silly and use our imaginations and look at really awesome illustrations within books. So it's been a 20-year dream in the making for me. And I've published several other books already, but the children's book was really my very first dream, and it just came true. So
that is so
it's pretty
fun.
Awesome.
Yeah, because I was going to ask, I see a lot of the same themes as were in Kind is the New Classy. And so I was wondering if it kind of came out of that, but it's interesting to hear that the children's book was really your dream from the get-go.
Yeah, it really was. And of course, I will always... you know, in the children's book and even in all the trade books that I write, to me, it's always about sharing, either giving encouragement or sharing things that work and don't work and how to cultivate kindness and positivity. And so those are the themes within all my books. But of course, as a parent, you have that opportunity to teach those things to your children and practice it along with them. So every little book will have little encouraging messages or a lesson to be learned. And I think, you know, I don't stray far from the Full House and Fuller House messages. Like, that's what every episode's about. And that's really who I am.
I love that. Yeah. And I thought the book was just so sweetly done. It was beautifully illustrated. It was really fun to see how it came to life that way. And there were fun little things, like my girls loved finding the hamster on every page. And, you know, I just thought it was really, really nicely done. And it's fun to hear that it's not just a one and done.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks. I didn't want that either. And I have so many ideas in my head for the next book. So as long as people are enjoying them, I have a million ideas. Okay, I don't have a million, but I have at least another 20 ideas for Candace's next adventures.
That's awesome. So what you've done, kind of both of the different, you know, authorship styles, both for children and then the trade books, like you were saying, I mean, they've got to be vastly different. How was that process different for you?
It is different. It was quicker to write a children's book because there are fewer words, but With that being said, it is so specific to write a children's book because every single word counts. You can't really ramble on. You can't add an extra paragraph unless you're writing a children's book for an older child. But in this, it's like you really have to choose your words carefully and then match the illustrations. And even the illustrations were so important that, and obviously I have had a wonderful illustrator, Christine Batusan, but going back to her and making sure that the way she was drawing the characters and their faces and their expressions, that they were matching what emotion I wanted to convey. So all of that, took time but I loved the process of it. I don't know, there's something so rewarding about writing a children's book, even though it is less words and even less time than any of the other trade books that I've done.
And that's fun that you got to be even involved in that illustration process, that you got to have a say with that. 'Cause I think of those as kind of almost being separate. So it's nice that you were able to be involved in that.
Oh, yeah, I'm a very picky person in that way. And the little details don't get past me. So I love collaborating with people, but I'm very opinionated and never afraid to share that and make sure that, if my name's on it, this is exactly what I would like to give to people. So I'm not
Absolutely.
afraid to be picky.
Well, and I think especially when, you are a cultural icon, but you also have a belief system that you want to, make sure that you are honoring and kind of learning how to draw that line. I know I reached out to my community that follows the podcast and said, do you guys have questions? What would you want to hear from Candace if you could ask? And I think a lot of people said that they feel like you do a good job of not being legalistic and knowing where to draw lines, but where it's just a matter of kind of getting the job done. And I know you mentioned that a little bit in Kind is the New Classy, that there was like some instances that happened with Fuller House where you went into the producers and did make sure you voiced your opinion. But to a certain extent, at the end of the day, it's also you aren't a producer and you have to do your job. Is that ever difficult for you?
Ladies, one of this week's new sponsors of the podcast has to do with a topic that can be really difficult to talk about, cancer. So many people, even within our Cultivating the Lovely community, are affected by cancer themselves or a family member or good friend. And one of the most important things we can do for family and friends who are going through a health crisis is simply to be there, to give them the gift of presence. They don't need so much help in words, they just need us to show our love and concern by being at their side when they need us. The weekly podcast, Health, Hope, and Inspiration with Reverend Percy McRae, is there to encourage and lift up these people as well. This podcast not only discusses the latest cancer care information, but also offers biblical hope and spirit-filled inspiration. Whether you are a patient or a caregiver, you will be encouraged by the conversations on Health, Hope, and Inspiration with cancer care patients and survivors, caregivers, clinicians, and medical professionals. Visit hhidownload.com today to subscribe to Health, Hope, and Inspiration, and you will receive 3 free downloads: cancer fighting recipes, reducing your risk for cancer, and 4 things every cancer patient must do. That is hhidownload.com.
It can be a fine line because I never want to come off as being bossy or rude or disrespectful in any way. But at the same time, business is business. And if no one speaks up, if you don't speak up for yourself, if you're not looking out for what's right, if you know you have a voice and can, then you're doing a disservice to everyone and yourself. And so I've really learned that over the years. And it's sometimes been a difficult lesson to learn because I think it's natural for a lot of us to err to the timid side and say, well, I don't want to rock the boat, or well, I don't want anyone to be upset with me. And I know my own personality. I'm a people pleaser. I love when people like me. I want people to like me. And the thought of someone not is like heart crushing and soul crushing. So that in itself can sometimes make a person say like, well, I don't want them to be upset, so I won't. But we have to speak up. And and so I've chosen to do that. But within that, it's never about trying to win an argument. It's just speaking up for what's right in the most righteous type of way and always being kind and respectful in the process.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And I think, I mean, as a Christian as well, I'm also a voiceover artist. And so I do, you know, commercials and that kind of thing and a lot of e-learning. And there have been certain jobs that I've gotten where, you know, you get the full script and, oh, there's things in here I wasn't expecting. And you really, you have to decide where your own personal line is of, you know, I may not agree with this, but it's not something that is a big enough deal to me to have to speak up about. And then there are those things that it's like, okay, no, I'm not willing to put my voice to this because it, you know, it crosses that line and you just have to kind of know where that is. And
absolutely,
I think it can be on a case by case basis.
I think so too. And I think it's important for every person to make that decision themselves and not to allow outside voices that may not understand why or where your decision is coming from to influence you otherwise.
Yeah.
I know that even in my work, I can certainly look at people who are Christians, not Christian, you know, whether they have any religious background or an atheist, can call me out for all kinds of things. Well, why did you make this decision about that, but you won't do it for this, or you will do it on that? And I'm, you know, at the end of the day, it can get overwhelming when you hear so many voices.
Yeah.
And I always have to think back to myself, who am I trying to please here? Am I trying to please all those people, or is this between me and God?
Yeah.
And I have to know what I feel about our relationship between me and God and that decision at the end of the day. And sometimes I have to understand and be okay with knowing some people may be disappointed in this decision, or they might not fully understand it. But if I've prayed over it and I've talked to God about it and I feel resolve in my heart about it, then that's okay. And you do that and you move on. And that's not to say you're doing things that are, you know, clearly in black and white that you shouldn't do.
Sure.
I'm saying it's those personal preference type things like you were talking about within a job. Do I want to give my voice to this or not?
Yeah. And I think that you did a good job of kind of, as we expound on that, talking about this whole idea in your book, Kind is the New Classy, which was super fun to listen to, by the way, on audiobook. I really enjoyed
getting
to actually hear your voice read it. It was really good. And I think that sometimes you come into these books written by celebrities and you're like, do they actually have anything to say? Like, is this going to be legit? But I really enjoyed that you had a nice mix of kind of like memoir, like stories from your life, but also a very legitimate message of this kindness and whatnot. But I saw certain things in our stories that parallel, like I grew up in the local theater community. And so I, even though I was raised as a Christian, I had all kinds of different people around me. And I think that in the end, that helped me. Like, I think as a Christian culture, we tend to stick to our own, if you know what
mm-hmm.
I mean.
Yeah.
And I think that that helped me to be able to see people for who they were instead of just the labels that they carry. And that helps me to love people better and be kind to people regardless of that, and be able to influence with them with my faith through kindness. And I think that's a lot of what you talk about in Kind is the New Classy, but do you want to speak a little bit to your experience with that in Hollywood?
Sure. I mean, everything you said, you hit the nail on the head of the messages that I'm trying to convey. And I think one of the things that gets a little frustrating at times is, as a Christian, you know, that's where my foundation is, just based in the Word of God, and my relationship with Christ is strong. And I want to be able to share that with people. And I do. It's part of what I feel is my influence. And I, you know, I can't leave my faith at the door when I leave for work. I'm not leaving it at home. It is who I am, and it goes with me wherever I am. But my faith, although I'm unashamed and not afraid to share it, I don't want everyone to feel like, oh, I'm going out there to try to convert you to everything that I believe. I'm like, that's not my motivation. It never has been. It never will be. But I don't want to go out there and judge everyone because I don't know everyone's circumstances.
Yeah.
I don't know how they were brought up. I don't know what their background is. I don't know what's influenced them in their life. And yet I think we can boldly share Christ with people or be a great ambassador and representative of Christ without even saying a word about
yeah.
him, just within our actions. And, you know, that in itself is quite an influence. But at the same time, if that door opens for conversation, I'm not afraid to jump into it. And we're called to do that.
Yeah.
It is a balance, but in no way, you know, that's, I think what I was trying to say, my first thought was that we sometimes get in like these little bubbles, these
yeah.
little Christian bubbles. And then we're afraid, like we can't associate with people that
yeah.
don't think exactly the way we think. And I'm like, no. It's the very opposite. When you talk with people who have different beliefs than you, or different even standards than you, different work than you, a different life than you, that's when you learn and you
yeah.
grow. And it also makes you stronger in who you are, because you have to decide for yourself, what is my worldview?
Yeah.
What are my standards? What are my boundaries? Because when you talk with other people that have a very different life than yours, it forces you to know exactly who you are or want to be or where you stand. And that's a really healthy, great thing. But on top of that, I will add that it's so important to listen
yeah.
to people. It's not just about talking and being bold, but about listening and being compassionate and understanding and trying to learn something from that person.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that sometimes as Christians, we think that it's the message that opens the door, when really a lot of the times it's the kindness and the relationship. I mean, the Bible even talks about how it's God's kindness that leads us to redemption. You know, it like to
100%.
Yeah, we want to come back to him because he is so good to us. And I don't know why we think if we just hammer people with our ideals, that's going to be what draws them. Like, it's going
right.
to be our kindness and our love for them and for each other. And so, and I, this is something that I just saw on Instagram, I don't know, a day or two ago. And I thought, wow, this is such a good example of how I see how your obvious kindness and character with people in Hollywood that you know has had an influence on them. It was on John Stamos's Instagram recently when he posted the letter that he wrote to God when he was a child.
Mm-hmm.
And you just wrote like a very short, like, amen or something. And you could see his response to you, like, wow, did you see this? This is amazing. Can you believe I wrote that? And, you know, I have no idea what kind of conversations you guys have had, but you could tell, like, you haven't offended people or turned them off from you, or they obviously, like, he wanted to share that with you and be like, yeah, can you believe this? And that's so encouraging to see. I mean, we see you on Instagram, we see you in interviews and everything, but to kind of get like this little glimpse of what your interactions with other people are like, you can see that you're very authentic in your message.
Well, thank you. It's so neat that you caught that little message
yeah.
on his Instagram, because it really was just so sweet. And even his comment to me, and then even another comment, it is a very cool thing for me when I know that my faith has influenced people for good, or they think of me that, and I'm not talking about John specifically,
yeah.
but people that say, hey, like I'm not a Christian, or I don't read the Bible, or I'm not a spiritual person, but I know you are. And I want to share this with you, or could you pray for me about this? It's like, I feel like I'm that person that they feel comfortable to come to
yes.
if it comes to a faith filled matter. And that's kind of how that little Instagram post with John was. The fact that he connected me to that
yeah.
post is means a lot, and I think it does say a lot.
Yeah, and I think it's just so sweet. I mean, I know I've had those instances in my own life where it's been through all the conversations that had nothing to do with God that someone feels comfortable to say, hey, okay, like we've had a relationship for years now. Now I want to talk to you about this because I know you're a safe place to have
yes.
that conversation.
Yes.
And that's always an honor, and you can feel God working in those moments. So that's
yep.
cool to see. Okay, if you guys have been following for a while, then you know that me and my kids have been living with my parents for the last year. And let me let you in on a little secret if you haven't noticed on Insta stories. My mother is a crazy dog lady, and she would admit it. She wasn't that way when I was younger, but alas, she is now. So when I got approached to have BarkBox as a sponsor and get one of their boxes in the mail for my parents' two dogs, I was certain that my mom would either love it or be highly offended that the products were not high quality enough for her precious little pooches. Well, I come to you to let you know today that not only were they high quality enough, but they really exceeded her expectations. So let me tell you a little bit about BarkBox. It's a monthly delivery of innovative toys, all natural treats, and crazy dog joy, always built around a surprise theme for dog and dog parents to enjoy. Fun things like Jurassic Bark, space squirrels, and the good, the bad, and the pugly. BarkBox knows you love your dog like family, and oh boy, does my mom ever. So they designed all toys in-house with the very best materials like stomach-safe t-shirt rope, spiky ball cores, and dozens of innovative squeakers. BarkBox's all-natural treats and chews are made and produced with meat sourced in the USA and Canada, and never any soy, corn, or wheat. This was a big one for my mom, and she was so delighted to see that it met her standards. The free shipping to anywhere in the USA and Canada keeps dog parents happy. BarkBoxes are a $40 value with plans starting at $20 a month. Celebrate your dog with BarkBox. It's like the joy of a million belly scratches delivered directly to your door. Oh, and also, I want to mention that if your dog has any allergies or is a heavy chewer or anything like that, they can accommodate your special needs, and they have a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you want to get in on BarkBox, you can get a free extra month of BarkBox when you subscribe to a 6 or 12 month plan by just going to BarkBox.com/lovely. Again, that's a free month when you subscribe to 6 or 12 months. Just go to BarkBox.com/lovely. So this is, as long as we're hitting it hard on the Christian culture topic. Another thing that I really wanted to ask you about, because, you know, I've had such a transition in the last year from being a stay-at-home homeschooling mom living on a farm to now I live in the heart of our city, and I have, you know, I own my own business, and I'm the 100% provider for myself and my kids. Mm-hmm. And so, wow, you know, what a transition. My kids are in school. It's been like everything about our life has changed. Yeah. And I think that, you know, I am so blessed to have a community of women who listen to this podcast who've been nothing but supportive. Like, I was scared to tell them what was happening in my life. And I think in the last year, I've received maybe 2 emails of like, are you sure? And everyone else has really heard my story and supported me. But I still, like, there's this thing in our Christian culture, I think, especially for women who have ambition and who are doing a lot of things, that's kind of painted as a bad thing. And you are doing so many things, but obviously still investing with your family and all of that. And so I'm wondering, like, how you've handled kind of those pressures from the Christian community, mm-hmm. and how then you're able to juggle it and still, like, really connect with your family and everything with all the balls that you have in the air.
Yeah. Well, let me say it now. Ambition is not a dirty word.
Amen.
That are listening. It's not. But I will say, though, that there are seasons of life.
Yeah.
And I've gone through several seasons, and I was a stay-at-home mom and did not work for 10 years. And I say this just to share my story. I'm not saying there is a right or a wrong, but I wanted to be the provider and
caregiver.
Caregiver for my children and not have full-time help. My husband and I have always wanted to be that. So I decided to not work and be a full-time stay-at-home mom. And that was a wonderful season in my life.
Yeah.
And it wasn't all roses either. It was a difficult transition because I went from a full-time working woman to a stay-at-home mom. And then I went back into the workplace. But again, when I went back, my kids were a little older and I felt like I had time to be able to manage both. And then within the last few years, like the last 3 years, that really things have gotten incredibly busy for me. I mean, I still spend a lot of time with my family, and they're the priority, but things have changed because my kids are teenagers and they're older teenagers. So although they very much need me emotionally, the physical need isn't there as much. I mean, they drive, they have their own lives, they travel. Yeah. And I don't think I've gotten as much backlash from the Christian community as one might think, but I do think that's because I wasn't working the way I am now when my kids were younger. I wasn't working. So I felt like for me, I was able to balance that okay. And I love where I'm at. But I'll tell you, I would not give up those 10 years that I stayed home and didn't work for anything, because that is truly when I grew the most in my faith as a woman and really understood where my priorities were. I mean, that became my priority and gave me a real focus and a plumb line to know when I went back to work, what the real priorities would be.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that's, I mean, I feel kind of, I mean, my oldest is 12, my youngest is 3. And so I've got a big age gap there, but I'm so grateful, like you were saying, to have had this time and to be able to still work from home so I can be with my 3-year-old a lot of the time. But I think that that is so important to have. And I think you did a really good job of talking about that in Kind as the New Classy, kind of what that transition was like for you. You guys, if you haven't listened to this book, you should really go get it or read it or listen to it, because it was so insightful and just it was really fun to hear your own experience, plus the things that you learned. I thought you did a good job of conveying
that. Thank
you. So, okay, on to some just kind of fun topics, I think.
Okay.
So you got to step into the director's chair with Fuller House this year.
It was so fantastic. I had been wanting to for a couple of years to do that. I was a little too scared to ask at first. And then I did ask a year ago, and it didn't happen. I didn't get the okay. So I asked again, and that's another one of my messages. I'm like, just because you ask once and you get a no doesn't mean the answer is going to be no. So keep asking, keep knocking on that door. And I did. And anyway, it was everything I hoped it would be and more. It was a wonderful experience, but I didn't realize how comfortable I would be in the director's chair. And, but you know, I've been doing this for over 35 years, so you would think I've learned something along the way, but it's definitely a new facet of my career, and I'll be directing more, and not only our show, but other shows.
Oh,
so
fun.
It was, very, very good thing. And I'm glad I pushed out of my comfort zone and left my fears behind just to ask in the first place. Cause I'll tell you, I was super, super nervous to do it, but I'm like, nope, I got to try. And if I fail, I fail, but I'll never know if I don't try. So I did. And now I'm like, oh, woohoo, this is awesome. I got lots more to do.
That's so fun. And if you're going to break into directing anything, I mean, to do it on something that you've been so invested in for so long, like, you know it like the back of your hand. And so it seems like that would be an amazing transition to have there, and kind of like this home platform that you have.
Oh, for sure. And that's where a lot of first-time directors, if you're an actor, they do start with the things that you've been working on for a while, or because it is a comfortable environment. And most of the time, as like my show, everyone was rooting me on and cheering me on and helping me be the best that I could be. And that was really wonderful. But beyond that, I will do more that is out of that safety zone and do other shows. And I guess that's where the real test is. But I'm not very fearful of it, because I felt so confident in that position and really, really enjoyed it.
That is so fun. I can't wait to see it and know that you directed those episodes. And, you know,
thank
I just
you.
Think it's going to be fun. Do you have any idea when it's going to be dropping?
It will be in December. I don't have the exact date, but the new season will be out before the end of the year.
And I am looking forward to that, because the first 3 seasons have been on repeat in my home.
I'm tired of listening to the same shows over and over.
Yeah. Like, we know them by heart.
I thank you for enduring them.
Yeah.
They're on often in the background. So it's fun, though. It's like if I could have anything on, at least it's like something I can tolerate and that's not obnoxious. So that's fun. But you, okay, so I was just watching Instagram last week and you just wrapped up your Hallmark movie for Christmas, which was, I know I looked up the title, A Shoe Out of Christmas.
A Shoe Out of Christmas.
Yes. So I was shocked to see that they were filming it so close to the release date, because doesn't it come out like November 25th?
Exactly. It does. I know there's a, we can do those movies in a very quick turnaround. It's not always preferable, but a lot of times we have no choice. So I wrapped up season four of Fuller House. And then within a week, I went to go start filming my Christmas movie. And we didn't do it earlier because I simply didn't have the time because of working on the other show. So we did it. I just wrapped it this last weekend. And then, I mean, it's like a 6-week turnaround. It'll be edited, you know, the sound mixing, music, all that kind of stuff. And we'll get it on the air. But it's my 7th Christmas movie to date. And I sure have a lot of fun making those movies. And I know that Hallmark fans absolutely love them. And this script, A Shoe Addict's Christmas, was so darn cute. And it was a book. It's actually based on a little like Christmas novella, a little book.
Fun.
And I just loved it. And I'm a shoe addict in my real life. Shoes are my thing as far as fashion goes. And I love fashion, but I have more shoes probably than I could wear in a lifetime. And I actually brought an entire suitcase just filled with my own personal shoes so we could add to the movie
without
having the budget to buy the kinds of shoes that I own. So I did almost all the shoes in that movie myself from my own closet.
Oh, that's fun. And how cool to do that, because I know they're just like, they're Hallmark movies. You know, you kind of know what to expect, but you love that. Like that's why we come back for the Hallmark movies. And I think, like, I was talking to my mom the other day saying, like, if you're going to do anything, those just seem like a fun job to have, because it's not super high pressure. You're not really blurring too many lines with, you know, what you're having to compromise on or anything. It's just like these great, wholesome, fun movies.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's why I've had a wonderful and very long relationship with Hallmark Channel and really have a partnership with them. And it's why I choose to work with them. Yeah. And that has been a very intentional choice in my career. And as, you know, as cute as they are, or cheesy, if you want to call it that, I mean, we do know what to expect. But they're always wholesome, and they always have family values, and they always have a happy ending to them. Like, you're going to be entertained, and there's just, you're going to enjoy them. But that, you know, it wasn't something that I just fell into. It was something I intentionally chose in my career, because I have chosen to do family programming. It's always been important to me, and it falls in line also with my Christian values, that I know I can make movies and television that people love and enjoy without compromising my standards and my values. So being a part of the Hallmark family has been incredibly intentional, and I don't want to be other places. That's exactly the home I've chosen to be.
Yeah, I love that, because I think it probably has to take some stress off of you to just know that you're doing things that you enjoy and you don't have to worry about.
I mean, in that sense, yes. But don't let the sweet Hallmark movies fool you in terms of the grind, because those actually, as far as work goes, are the hardest grind that I have in my entire year. Like, Fuller House is the dream job, because I drive to a studio every day. I've got my nice dressing room. I work, you know, like 6 to 7 hours a day, a couple days a week. But those Hallmark movies, I'm working 16, 17, 18 hours every day, 6 days a week. And the schedule is
Well, to crack them out that fast,
Exactly.
Yeah.
We film those things in 15 days, and you're learning, you know, 8 to 11 pages of dialogue a day, and then working 16 to 18 hours a day on top of it. So they are quite difficult to do, but they're lovely and they're fun.
Yeah.
But man, I just want to pass out for a couple weeks after I film one.
I bet.
Tiring.
Because they're definitely a whirlwind. And I guess I just meant like, as far as stress, as you know, like
what
the work is. You just don't have to worry about that. But
exactly.
Yeah, I can't imagine the grind. And you came straight out of that and went on a book tour. So
yeah.
Dang, girl.
I'm looking forward to sleeping in December because that's the time I've taken off. So I have another movie to film right after this. I go into production next week and I'll go through till December. And then I started taking, last year I took the month of December off and it was the best thing I've ever done.
Yeah, I bet.
For my body and for my family. And so I'm doing the same thing this year.
So that kind of brings me to what I wanted to ask you is, you know, obviously you've got so many things going on. You're like, you're saying these crazy long days and everything. And we know from your Instagram that working out is a big like self-care thing for you. Are there other things that you do to make sure that you're taking care of yourself emotionally and, you know, in all of those ways so that you can keep up that pace?
Yeah, of course. You have to, like everyone has to, and your pace doesn't have to be as crazy as mine or what I think mine is. I mean, whatever your pace is, that's enough for you. Like everyone has to have self-care, and it's really important because you can never be the best for others when you don't take care of yourself, at least to a minimum.
Yeah. Yeah.
So my sleep is really important to me. I'm not someone that can work on 4 hours of sleep or five, like I need at least 7 hours is my minimum. And if I can get 8 or 9, like then I'm a really happy person.
Yeah.
But that's important. And working out really is a huge, stress release for me and really good for my mental health. And that's why it's so important because I feel like, and it might not just be as a woman, obviously I'm not a man, so I don't know, but like, I feel like my hormones go crazy and nuts and like, I need to sweat that bad, icky, whatever it is out. So my mental health stays clear and I just can get perspective that way. But you know, it's also just nurturing my soul, which is reading good books, reading my Bible, having a healthy and active prayer life. Mm-hmm. And I also need really good friends around me. Not a lot, but, you know, I have a couple of very close people, and including my husband, but my best girlfriend, and a couple people that I can just talk to, you know, the things that I'm not sharing on social media, because we all know we pretty much share the best of our lives on social media. We might share an ugly truth, but it might be in a self-deprecating, funny kind of way.
Yeah.
But most of us aren't sharing the really hard stuff because nobody really, it's not that no one wants to listen to it, but it's, I feel like I go to social media to get the fun and the positive.
Yeah.
And that's what I like to put out. But I need those people that are close to me that I trust, that I can talk to and basically be my therapist. Like some days I'm just like, I need someone to listen to me. I just need to download and talk, or I might need to be fed. Like I don't know what to do and I need really great advice. So my friendships and very close relationships are so important to me and help me maintain my schedule because I'm able to vent or download whatever's going on.
It's so interesting that you say that because I was just having that conversation with someone last week. Like people, they've always liked my platform because I try to be very authentic and honest with things that are going on. But I was telling someone the other day, it's like, yes, I try to be that, but there's only so much of that that you post because people don't want to just hear like all about the gruelingness of your divorce or, you know, like they want to know like, okay, oh, she's still going through that or whatever, but they don't want just thing after thing of all the bad. They want the funny and the,
they
so
do.
It's that balance.
It's so interesting because I'm so interactive with the people who follow me on social media. Mm-hmm. And I really love that connection. I love to be able to interact with people I wouldn't have the opportunity to otherwise. But with that said, it's like so funny as to what resonates with people, because if I will say something like, man, I'm tired, I would love a break, and I say anything that has the slightest negative connotation to it, even just like, I'm tired, there's always a billion people going, girl, you don't know what tired is.
Yeah.
And why are you complaining? You're driving a nice car and you've got a home. And why are you complaining? And it's like, oh my gosh, I wasn't really complaining.
Can't I just be tired?
I just was tired.
Yeah.
But if I say like, oh my gosh, why am I 42 and I still break out and get zits on my face? Then everyone's like, oh my gosh, I love that you share that.
Yeah.
About that.
Yeah. It's like they want you to be authentic to a certain extent.
Exactly. But not too much.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally get that. Okay. So this is kind of a stock question that I ask a lot of my guests, and it's going to be a difficult one for you to answer because your life is changing daily. But what does a typical day look like for you?
Honestly, I don't have a typical day because they're all so different. I mean,
yeah.
I could give you a typical day on the set of Fuller House, which is like I'll wake up at 6 and leave my house at, you know, 6:15, 6:20, go to the gym, work out before my day starts at 8 a.m. or 8:30, rehearsing all day, run through. I mean, that's a whole different kind of schedule in itself. But then I'll be home by 6 p.m. and I can have family with my dinner or run to hockey practice with my boys or whatever I need to do. And that's kind of the best of a work day for me.
Yeah.
But if I'm on the road, which is literally half my year, I'm living in a hotel. I shoot most of my Hallmark movies in Canada. So, mm-hmm. You know, I live out of suitcases half the year, and I'll be up at 4:35 a.m. to start my day and work a 16-hour day. And I'm learning lines. Like, I got another hour of homework to do for the next day by the time I get back to my hotel, and you're shooting all day. And then, you know, every once in a while I get that Saturday or my Sunday, and well, Sundays are kind of typical for us when I'm home, mm-hmm. because we wake up, we go to the farmer's market and have breakfast, we go to church, and then it's usually a hockey game for the boys, and or we have people over for our Sunday, you know, Sunday dinner, barbecue, pizza oven, whatever we have. Like, mm-hmm. so I get those down days too, but my typical day is just so different.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah. So how in all those different days are you right now cultivating loveliness in your life?
I'm just trying to stay happy and positive.
Yeah.
That is me cultivating loveliness because honestly, I don't want to say this in like a self-serving or self-absorbed way, but I realize that with the amount that I travel and the work, I'm around a lot of new people mm-hmm. every single day.
Sure.
Like, for instance, I'm talking to you for the first time
yeah.
on this. And I've just, before this, I was on the Steve Harvey Show. And right before that, I was on E! News. And so
yeah.
I'm interacting with brand new people every single day. And I realized that whatever I bring into that room or that conversation, that's going to affect the people I'm talking to mm-hmm. for the rest of their day, possibly.
Yeah.
And so I want to cultivate loveliness by being the most positive person and happy person, even if maybe my day's stressful. I am very aware of what my energy is and my positivity level is, because I don't want to ruin someone's day because
yeah.
I'm having a bad day. I don't want to pull someone down. So,
and do you think that when you do that, it does that drain you more, or does that help you to get through if you're having a more stressful day?
Good question. And it's both. I think it depends on it. Sometimes it certainly is more draining depending on what
sure.
the stress level is. And then sometimes it'll just kick it right out of me. And
yeah.
I'm like, I've just forgotten about it. I'm not going to think about it. And I'm just going to choose to be happy.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay. I like your answer.
Thanks.
Okay. Are you ready for my stock questions?
Yes.
Okay. Candles or essential oil diffuser?
Essential oil diffuser.
Okay.
I have several.
Awesome. Cloth napkins or paper?
Cloth. My husband won't even allow paper napkins in our house.
Oh, wow. Okay, city or country? Like, do you prefer being in the city or in the country?
Oh my gosh, I totally took that the wrong way. Like, would
no,
you
okay.
rather go to a specific city or just like obscure country?
A whole country, yeah.
Like go to Ireland. Go
yeah.
Okay. Oh my gosh, don't put this on your podcast because I just sounded super lame.
Okay, I'll ask you again.
It was like a blonde moment. But, okay, city or, oh my gosh, this tells you how tired I am.
Yeah, I can only imagine. I'm sure you're exhausted.
Okay, you can leave that in just to show people that I'm just so, oh, so,
so
silly.
Tired.
Okay, city or country? City. I'm a city
Okay.
girl through
All
and
right.
through.
Paper or digital?
Well, gosh, that's a hard one. I really love paper, but I'm on digital so much.
Yeah.
I guess I'll choose digital, but my love of paper will never go away.
All right. I'm right there with you. I feel like I've been forced into digital,
Yeah.
but I really prefer paper. Yeah. Okay. Shopping online or in the store?
Online. Now I'm online. I still love going into a store, but I just don't have time. So
Yeah.
online shopping has been my lifesaver.
Okay. So this is going to be an off question for you too, because your life is so crazy. But I would normally ask, whatever time you're making dinner and you need a mental break, do you listen to a podcast or to music?
Oh, I will listen to music for sure. I love listening to podcasts, but I listen to them so that I can learn something. So if I need a mental break, I need to listen to music.
Okay. And what would you turn to music wise?
John Mayer.
All right. And what are some of your favorite podcasts when you are wanting to learn something?
Oh, well, I have to give a shout out to my mom and my friend Shalene Bryant, because they have their own podcast. My mom's so cute. And it's called The Splash. And that one's great.
Oh, fun.
And I feel like I'm one of billions that have started listening. Not started. She's had quite the tribe for a while, but I
yeah.
just joined it. So Rachel Hollis, I've been listening to her podcast, which has been interesting. And oh gosh, what else? I don't know.
It's
yeah,
okay.
Now I'm going to my phone and I'm trying to look at what my downloads are for my, but you know, I honestly, I've been into Audible books.
Oh yeah.
Which is very cool that you listen to my book, but I've been listening to more Audible books than even podcasts right now in this season. So
what have been some of those lately?
Well, let me tell you, I would
yes.
be so happy to. I'm currently reading a book called Becoming Mrs. Lewis. That one is not on Audible.
Okay.
But I listened to Troublemaker by Leah Remini, which was so good, and you have to
oh,
listen.
Oh, I bet that would be good.
Yeah, it's her voice, and it's the same thing. Once you hear it in her voice, it was really good.
Yeah.
I just finished The Road Back to You, which is about
oh,
the
yeah.
Enneagram. And I'm reading another book on the Enneagram. And I listened to Girl Wash Your Face. And I listened to a book by John Eldridge, Walking with God, very recently.
Okay.
And I have quite the plethora of
yeah.
different kinds of books. And another one that's like on guiding teenage girls called Untangled, which was a really...
I think I heard about that recently.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's been out a while. It's by Lisa Damore, but it is a wonderful book filled with so much information. And I feel like even though it's geared toward teenage girls, there's if you don't have a girl, it's still worth the listen for boys.
Huh.
But yeah, it was very helpful and insightful. And I wish I had listened to it when my daughter was much younger.
Yeah.
And her teenagers, it would have saved me a lot of heartache and grief of thinking I was like this horrible parent when
yeah.
really it's just how girls think and mature. But we forget once we become
yeah.
parents, because when we are teenagers, we don't realize what's quite going on
yeah.
emotionally within our bodies. And then anyway,
yeah,
it was
no, that's good. That's really good. Okay. Chocolate, milk or dark?
Dark.
All right. Sports or no sports?
Sports.
That one we could have known, right? Hockey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And this one's probably also very obvious. Live broadcasting. Would you rather broadcast or watch?
Oh, broadcast.
Yeah. What is your favorite movie?
The Wizard of Oz.
Oh.
My all-time favorite movie.
I just read that book as an audiobook on my other podcast. So we've been
really?
Very
I've
entrenched in it lately.
I thought of doing that.
Yeah. It's so fun. This other podcast I had called The Same Page, and we released a new chapter every day for 6 weeks. So it was super fun.
Ah, that is so cool.
Yeah.
I'll have to go back and listen.
Yes. Well, okay. If you were to put yourself on the crunchiness spectrum, and 0 is totally not crunchy, and 10 is singing Kumbaya by the fire with your legs unshaven and dreadlocks in your hair. Where are you on the crunchiness spectrum?
Like 4?
Okay.
5? I don't know. Crunchiness? Like, you mean just being like granola? Like
yeah,
totally
natural
granola?
And...
Okay, no, maybe not four then. That's just, I'm definitely not super granola, and I like, but I'm relaxed. I'm not super hyped over, it's not like I won't ever go without makeup or go just, stuff like that. I don't know. So
But
maybe
I mean,
six, seven, I don't know.
you got your essential oil diffuser and your cloth napkins. That
This is
counts,
true.
you know?
Yes, okay.
You gotta rock it.
Let's go for a six.
Okay. And one last thing. Would you give a shout out to my brother Caleb? Because when he was 10 years old, he came to our local mall and waited to meet you. And he did not get to
Oh,
make it through the line. And so for the past 2 months, I've been hearing, will you please tell her to say hi to me?
my gosh, Caleb, hi. I'm so sorry that you didn't make it to meet me, but now you're getting a special hello from me. And if we're ever in the same city and you're in the vicinity, I will make sure that I come over and say hi.
Oh, that will delight him to no end. Thank you so much. It was such a joy having you on. Thank you so much for taking the time, Candace.
You're so welcome. Thanks for having me. It was a really fun conversation. I loved your questions.
Oh, thank you. Well, have a great day.
You too.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Okay, you guys, did you have as much fun listening to that as I did recording it? It was such a blast. I mean, I gotta say, I had my hair cut like DJ Tanner when I was in, third grade. I loved Full House, still enjoy Fuller House, so it was so much fun to get to talk to her. Truly an honor, and definitely a little bit of a change of pace, which is always fun. You guys can find links to her new Christmas Hallmark movie that'll be coming out in November, along with her new books and all of that at boldturquoise.com/088. Also, if you want to get in on that Patreon stuff that we were talking about, you can go to patreon.com/cultivatingthelovely. Keep leaving those ratings and reviews in iTunes. They're making such a difference, and I so appreciate it. And next week, I will be back with an actual local friend of mine who is absolutely hilarious. Her name is Marisa Warwick, and I think you guys are going to get just as much of a kick out of her as I do. We're talking about green cleaning and motherhood and a whole bunch of other stuff, so it's bound to be a really good episode. All right, ladies, until then, I'll see you around Instagram, of course, at Mackenzie Kappa, and any of the other places that you connect with me, like in our Facebook group. You can just go to Facebook and search Cultivating the Lovely. And in the meantime, go be bold and gracious.